The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/theshiningwizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on swlive.net and rantemradio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hi, everybody. This is original Glow Girl Little Egypt, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
I have a small dick.
No, what?
God damn.
Maybe my balls should be on fire. Great Balls of Fire is about 11 days away. But never mind the fire or the balls. Maybe your penis is infected. Maybe that's on fire tonight. If that's the disease, then you're tuned into The Cure. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Jesus. I can't even talk. It's because my balls are on fire, goddammit. Welcome to The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk. And Tony all by himself. Once again, the schedules have been crazy. And as a matter of fact, the only reason I even had time tonight, because I was dealing with one Dave Mega Powers, who is going back to the Asian Film Festival this week, and he needed a little technical support, getting some things set up for that, wanted to make sure my boy was taken care of, not to mention that he took care of me and hooked me up with some of those delicious snacks of his. I don't mean anything that he grows under his balls or anything like that, but it is a ballsy kind of night. The weather is cooling down up here in the Northeast. It's raining just a smidge. The 4th of July is upon us next week. Don't know when we're going to be doing a show, but we've got some festivities. We've also got work. Found out that I will most likely be working through all of next week. So I'm going to have to fit in my party in somewhere else. But enough about me. Let's talk about my favorite person in the entire world, Mr. James E. Cornette. Since you've last joined us here on The Shining Wizards, on The Rant, rantemradio.com, by the way. Shout out to everyone who's listening live. James E. Cornette was served with a restraining order. And I'm sure you can guess who that restraining order came from. That's right, Vince Russo is afraid that Mr. Cornette might give him bodily harm, might cause him some further anguish, mental distress, and all that other happy horseshit that goes along with a restraining order. I'm not one to say it's gone too far. I thought maybe Jim Cornette does push the envelope quite a bit. I can understand why he's pissed off. But I think Bruce Pritchard said it best. He's like, these guys just got to get over it. You know what, though? It's an interesting soap opera, and it's built on a true premise, pure hatred for another human being. If that's not the reason for somebody to get behind a good storyline, I don't know what is. And as much as I really, I am not in the Vince Russo camp, as you all know from listening to the show. And if you're a new listener, welcome. I don't particularly like Vince Russo. I don't think I hate him as much as a human being as certain people do. I just think that he did more harm than good for the wrestling industry, the business as a whole. As a whole, get it? And yes, I had the same exact meal for dinner last week that I did tonight. Scarfing down a gyro to you white people. Yeah, I guess I'm white too, and people mistaken me as a Greek, from the Greek. But no, it does come in handy when you live in Astoria for 2.5 years, so more power to me, and thanks to all my Greek friends there. That tzatziki sauce is some tasty stuff, though, isn't it? But I'm digressing, as we like to do on the show. So Mr. Cornette went on his podcast this past week and didn't apologize, but made it clear, or unclear as it were, that he's not really going to take time out to mess with Vince Russo anymore, which may be a good thing. Maybe we should let this thing die down finally. I don't think his hatred's going to go away. No, no, no. But I do think that he's going to at least try. And I mean, Jim's not he's not a young guy anymore, and he's always eating double cheeseburgers, goddammit. I can't do a good Jim Cornette. I know Matt does a killer Jim Cornette, and I hope he's listening. I hope he hears the shout out to him. But that's the Jim Cornette saga, where it's left off with his battles with Vince Russo in a nutshell. And like I mentioned earlier, there's a pay-per-view coming up. You know what? Let's get into a little bit of news before we get to the pay-per-view. I did not follow up with this, but the rumor mill was afire. Get it? Great balls. With the possibilities that Alberto Del Rio and Paige are no longer together. Apparently they went to Disney World. They were invited guests. Or was it Orlando? I don't know. They were invited guests of Jeff Jarrett, excuse me. And they went on a trip. And apparently at some point during the trip, they had a fight and they're broken up. Boo! Yes, because everyone took their relationship seriously. I'm sorry. I'm using the soundboard. Fuck it.
Correct. Ding.
No, that's not the one that I wanted. That's the one I wanted. Yeah, so good for them. No one really cares, but I figured if there's a few of you out there that are into that kind of happy horse shit. There was also a rumor going around that there were nude leaks of one Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. I've yet to see them. Now, that doesn't mean they don't exist. It's highly unlikely that they do. So for all you pervs out there, keep looking. And you could send the link to wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Matter of fact, send some cock pics too. Kevin likes looking at those. I always forward them right over to his personal email. But when those come in, I know exactly how they're sorted. You can call me the postal service. I make sure things get to where they need to go. I don't know. Was there anything else happening in news? I don't really give a shit. Damian Sandow reveals putting together a Money in the Bank match. Yeah, you get a ladder, you throw some schmucks in it, you tell them, here, beat the shit out of each other and try to get the fucking briefcase. I don't know. I'm just being a dick. I don't know how that goes. So who cares? There's a whole bunch of other stuff here. Nobody gives a shit. Jim Ross doesn't think Daniel Bryan will return to the ring. Well, aside from the fact that he has been found by about 45 doctors to have concussions and post-concussion syndromes and all that other good shit, or whatever they used to say, I don't think he's coming back. Now, that doesn't mean he's coming back. He's not going to come back ever at all. I just think that the WWE is the one keeping him off the actual, the working. Wrestling, getting inside the ring and doing more than getting the people to chant yes and take briefcases away from Carmella. Are you kidding me? Well, that was the other big news that we missed out on. Carmella was stripped of the briefcase last week. Her Money in the Bank win, thanks to her bae, James Ellsworth, or he's her bae or she's, who gives a fuck? So tonight as we speak, SmackDown Live is on and they're doing another Money in the Bank. And if I can get up on the soapbox here for a minute, I understand the entire women deserve equal time thing. I understand that we're trying to make way, giving the women, you know, main event spots, which they've been doing sporadically for the past 10 years. But it's nice to see they're paying a little more attention to the women. The women are getting better as a whole. I said that word again. And it's cool that they're getting some new stuff out there and actually giving the women a chance. However, you cannot come out on your national program and at one moment say it's not against the rules for someone else to retrieve the briefcase and give it to someone who's actually in the match, and then turn around and say that you're not going to let the decision stand and strip the winner of their right, what they earned. Now, look, it's not like they were building to the first Hell in the Cell here, which was a fucking disaster with the women anyway, where it was Sasha Banks and Charlotte in only chapter 40 of their 60-chapter feud, which again gets to another argument that it should be the be-all, end-all having a match in Hell in a Cell. But we're beyond that point as a wrestling fan base, as a wrestling whole, as a wrestling organization, as a wrestling existence. And Money in the Bank really doesn't need that build. I mean, it really doesn't have a build on the men's side, so I can't complain about that. But you can't, for one thing, give a disputed finish like that, come out, say that it should stand because it's not against the rules, and then change it anyway. I mean, you just destroyed everything you were trying to create by having this match and making it the first ever of its kind, a women's Money in the Bank match. And then turn around and do it a week and a half later, all over again, and say that that decision doesn't stand. I don't understand it. I think that's a big hiccup, and I think it's a big storyline problem. But if Daniel Bryan's contract is up, let's get back to the main point, and he decides he wants to get back in the ring, I would only hope that he would know to tone it down significantly. Look, Steve Austin had his neck broken. He changed his style, and his style revolutionized the business and the main event scene for many a year after that. So maybe Daniel Bryan is his injury is a blessing in disguise. Maybe if he does return to the scene and he actually becomes an active wrestler again, maybe he could change things up. Maybe he is the savior that we've been looking for. Well, that's enough about Daniel Bryan. Can we talk about Monday Night Raw? Can we talk about what happened just yesterday? Let's go into the main event. Let's start off with that first, since we have the women fresh in our minds. Sasha Banks entered into a gauntlet match against pretty much all the other women on the Raw roster. And she won. So next week at Great Balls of Fire on July 9th, she'll be getting a title shot against Alexa Bliss. My favorite. Thank you. And I'm kind of interested. I know Bayley's kind of been buried at this point. I didn't see the match. I know Nia Jax, she's been on a bit of a tear. I guess Sasha Banks, is as good as any to shut up Alexa Bliss at this point. I don't think Sasha Banks is going to win this match. I mean, it's a little early to start predicting, considering they just built this thing up. But it's been Alexa Bliss trying to pit all the women against each other. And I'm sure that Nia Jax believes in her heart of hearts that she deserves the title shot, and she's only been getting screwed even though she's been dominating, even though she lost to Bayley, and even though Bayley's losing everybody right now. Thank God for 50-50 booking, am I right? I said, am I right?
Correct! Ding!
Thank you for that. What else happened on Raw? Good stuff. Stuff that I actually care about.
Roman Reigns.
And I say that higher because Roman comes back this week and he's like, you know what? I got my ass beat by Joe, but I'm here for one reason. I'm here to kick some ass and get a title shot and blah, 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 blah. Guess who beats the shit out of him all over again? That's right. Braun Strowman back for the second week in a row. Kicks the ever-living shit out of Roman Reigns. Beels him into the side of an ambulance like an afterthought. And then packs them away and sends them off to the cheers of the fans in attendance and to cheers for me. because I kind of like Braun Strowman. And I think building toward Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, probably not a bad thing. I can't wait. But what I really can't wait for is the fact that Samoa Joe has his date with Destiny in 9 days, and he's going to take on the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. And how amazing is this? That Brock Lesnar is being brought out by Paul Heyman, and Joe interrupts his entrance and throws him in the coquina clutch. And Brock, bless his heart, tries to break out of it by slamming Joe to and fro. That rhymed. Even into the Titantron set. Well, not, I guess not the Titantron, but, you know, all the glowing Raws and all that shit. And Lesnar almost got put to sleep. Almost went night-night. And he was red. I haven't seen him that red since he came back out of retirement and beat the shit out of John Cena. Remember those days when he had zero cardio in his repertoire? Ah, that's the good stuff. That is absolutely the good stuff. We've got some good things that they're doing right now in building to what's happening in the future. Speaking of good, do we want to call it a good thing? Things that are happening kind of build into the same thing. We had an episode of Miz TV that also aired on Raw. And I'll be honest with you, whoever would have thought who would have ever thought that when Booker T dropped that world famous N-bomb in WCW talking about the Hulkster, that we would have ever heard that word dropped again on live television on a wrestling program, let alone on WWE's Monday Night Raw, you know, the PG era, the bastion of all things kid-friendly. Well, let me take you back. Let me take you back real quick. We haven't played this one in a long time.
We got it for you, nigga.
That's right. Booker T. All fired up about what him and his brother were going to do and take the gold and then come after Hulk Hogan. Well, batten down the hatches. Apparently, well, I didn't mean to hit that. I kind of want to turn down the other music. I don't want to take away from the heart of the story here. But it just gives me an excuse to play one of my all-time favorite songs. So, there is an NBA player named LaVar Ball. Now, look, I am not into the NBA. I don't know much about it. But I know that LaVar Ball apparently is a basketball American. And he had his family with him for Miz TV. I guess LaVar Ball, Great Balls of Fire, whatever. I don't know. So apparently there was a little tete-a-tete with The Miz. And before Dean Ambrose could come out, Mr. LaVar Ball takes off his shirt and starts going into some karate poses and like that he was going to get down with The Miz, which I was all for. I don't care what people think. I thought this segment was awesome enough right there. And then Dean Ambrose's music starts playing and everybody's like, oh man, the Lunatic Fringe, he's going to be the sane one in this conversation. And then in the background, we hear LaMelo, LaVar's son, continue egging his father on.
Well, he is the Lunatic Fringe.
Beat that nigga ass. Beat that nigga ass.
Kind of reminds me of my brother when he used to sing Light 'Em Up, yo, that little high pitch at the end where he kind of really gets into it.
Well, he is the Lunatic Fringe.
Beat that nigga ass. Beat that nigga ass.
Now, I bring this up for two reasons. One, I found this hilarious. And two, the WWE didn't really go into full-on panic mode with the press. They issued some sort of statement where that was not part of the show and they don't condone that kind of language and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Look, if you live in this country, I'm sure you've heard the word before. I guess in certain contexts it's offensive, but come on. His kid was telling him to beat his ass. I mean, it was part of what was making that great, to be honest with you. But the thing that really amazes me the most is that behind the scenes, as part of this apology, that they didn't condone this, Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, Bucktooth Beaver, whatever the fuck Jim Cornette calls him. I got to bring up Jim again. They lost their minds. Absolutely lost their shit backstage.
Dummy. Yeah.
Like JR used to say, well, this is live TV, folks.
Correct. Ding.
Oh, my God. So the segment continued, but you know what? I didn't even care after that. I had to peel myself off the floor because I was laughing so goddamn hard. It was really amazing. I couldn't stop laughing. I really enjoyed it. So let me go into Great Balls of Fire real quick. So we got Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss for the Women's Championship on Raw. We've got Reigns and Strowman in an ambulance match. Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe for the Universal Championship. We've also got Neville putting the Cruiserweight title up against Tozawa. I think Tozawa, is he the guy in the coalition or whatever they're calling it? I don't know. Who gives a fuck? Whatever. And I really don't give a shit about either one of these guys. Seth freaking Rollins against Bray. I always lose Wyatt. And now before we go, I found a stack of magazines and I put it up on Facebook. Old wrestling magazines. I actually found a couple of Wrestling Superstore catalogs too from when I was into the replica belt collecting days. And those catalogs are from 15 years ago. So it just goes to show you, number one, how long replicas have been around. And number two, how fucking old I am. But I've got a copy. I decided to read a little something tonight from the official International Wrestling Insider from May 1987. And apparently this is the fourth issue in the series. And I don't remember this magazine being around too much longer. I could be wrong. But on the cover, there's a picture of Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat. It says Macho Man Elizabeth terrorizing the WWF. And I think this was shortly after Macho Man had won the Intercontinental belt. And I think, yeah, right? Oh, no, wait a minute. May 87? This was already after WrestleMania 3? Oh, okay. It's dated May 87, but shit is dated all before WrestleMania 3. Because if I go to, and it's right up front. Now, we all remember how PWI used to have a listing of all of the federations and their champions and all that good stuff. Well, this one actually has, it's got WWF, it's got the World Wrestling Council, which is below the WWF for reasons I don't know. But around this time, the NWA was still around. Ric Flair was the champ, of course. We've got World Class, Kevin Von Erich on top. The Universal Wrestling Federation, the UWF, which came out of Mid-South. The One Man Gang is the champion. I don't think he was champion all that long either. And of course, AWA, Nick Bockwinkel. And then it's just got a listing of other federations. Like it's got the Florida territory with Lex Luger on top. It's got the ICW. And I think, shit, I'm trying to remember this. I don't think that was the PAFOs. I think this was subsequent to the PAFOs. I could be wrong with that. Then it just has a listing of the tag teams. And this is what really cracks me up. So this is how much this magazine hates Hulk Hogan. There's a top 20 in the back. Nikita Koloff's on top, then Tully Blanchard. And you go down the list. Paul Orndorff is number 3. Hulk Hogan is not on the list for the top 20 wrestlers. And yet he is the champion of World Wrestling Federation at this time. As a matter of fact, Kamala, the Ugandan headhunter, who at this point is the number 1 contender to the world title in the WWF, is ranked number 9. Number 9. Roddy Piper is number 5 for WWF, and he's ranked number 8. So these rankings are all over the fucking place. But what really cracks me up is you look under most popular, and Hulk Hogan's number 3. Now you would think, well, who could possibly be more popular than Hulk Hogan? And this goes to show you how big the Rock and Roll Express was. Now, I don't know how they decided who was first, but Ricky Morton's number 1 and Robert Gibson's number 2. I guess they ranked them in order of how many eyes they have. I guess the less amount of eyes, the lower you go on the list. I'm not sure. But that shit really cracked me up. Also, one thing I found really funny, they have an entire letters to the editor section. And then they also have a pen pal section. Imagine that. People didn't get to know each other on Facebook back in 1987. They would actually have people send in their address with what they liked and what they were interested in and what kind of shows they went to. And so there was a woman named Donna Wilson. And according to this, she was from Jackson, Mississippi. And she wrote a letter and she wanted color photos and articles on Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Terry Taylor, the Fantastics, and all of the UWF. She also wants to start a UWF fan club. And then you go to the pen pal section and you can actually write to Donna Wilson, but her address is in Brandon. What? Isn't Brandon in Mississippi? Or maybe it is Missouri. But whatever, she's got two different addresses. Maybe Donna likes to travel. Maybe she's a rat. I don't know. But I found this shit really interesting because, of course, Donna Wilson, the pen pal, is also a UWF fan, and she would like to correspond with anyone. And her favorite wrestler is the Red Rooster himself, Terry Taylor. So good for her. If you want to write to Eduardo Greasy, he's in Puerto Rico. And if you want to write to, if you want to subscribe to the Wrestling Journal, it's 75 cents an issue, and include a self-addressed stamped envelope for your copy. So every time you want an issue, you have to mail in a 75 cents plus a 40 cent stamp with a self-addressed stamp. I don't even know who that is. It doesn't say who published it, but J.D. Woodall. Now, my old wrestling foo does not go back that far, so maybe that's somebody important I should know. I would have to do some research. Oh, here's your headline article. Crusher Blackwell wins a battle royal in Milwaukee. And the Russians were beating on Kurt Hennig during that battle royal, and Colonel DeBeers was in it. And a very young Brian Knobbs with a mohawk and shaved sides on his head. And there's Jerry Blackwell all busted open. This fucking battle royal got 8 pages. I'm not even exaggerating. 8 fucking pages for a battle royal that Jerry the Crusher Blackwell won. There's an article in here about the Macho Man and Elizabeth. Let me see. There's talk that maybe the Macho Man's going to be turning face. I don't know. But they show him beating up on Roddy Piper. They show him fighting with Hillbilly Jim. There's the Battle of Puerto Rico. The Invader tangles with Ron Starr. And here's a great thing. Here's another connection. This article is by Eddie Greasy. The same Eddie Greasy that was in the letters section who lives in Puerto Rico? I wonder, is that a coincidence? Are these names made up? If I'm writing to Ed Greasy, am I sending letters to Bill Apter in Queens? I don't even know. Oh, here we go. The Cavalcade of Catalogs. I'm sure you guys remember these. The largest selection of underwear in the underwear catalog. Night and Day Intimates, the gift of lingerie. They're always appreciated and so affordable. Dawn Wigs International. Dawn International Wigs. I remember that. Holy shit. You really want to feel old? There is a postcard size advertisement for Adam and Eve. You can get a full color 48-page catalog. Choose from the world's largest selection of high quality books, birth control products, lingerie, and marital aids. Privacy, fast service, and money-back guarantee. It says birth control products. You can get your sponges and condoms without being embarrassed, even in 1987. Holy shit, until you write a check, and then the check comes back in the mail, and your people in your household go, what the fuck is this? Whatever. There's another one here, tantalize your partner. All right, you see where we're going. There's weight loss. There's lovers only. Oh, you could buy your fireworks in the mail, too. Fucking get up on that. Are you over 40? Could you be missing out on the best sex of your life? Sex over 40. What's with the newsletters? Was this all we did in the 80s? Send each other fucking newsletters? If you guys send each other newsletters, hit me up. Fucking send me a message on Facebook. Let me know what newsletters you subscribe to. And holy shit, Ike Berger with his 101 exercises with your own multi-station workout gym in your home. Fucker looks like Larry Bird. He's fucking DDP 20 years before his time. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. These magazines are amazing. I can't wait to actually start reading some of this shit. There's the Midnight Rockers as they get closer to the AWA tag titles. We all know that they're feuding with the Midnight Express at this point, and they had an amazing feud. Go check some of that shit out if it's available on the network. Last but not least, on the road with Women's World Champion Wendi Richter. Unfortunately, the Women's World Champion was no longer with WWF at this point, having been buried by the original screw job. If you don't know what that is, look up Wendi Richter versus the Spider. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or on the network, and you can learn just how tough contract negotiations can be and how things are when you try to, when Vince McMahon tries to strong arm you and you fucking tell him no. Go check out the story of Wendi Richter. She is in the Hall of Fame now, so I guess bygones are bygones. But here, Wendi is the NWF Women's Champion. Yes, the NWF. Go research it. I really don't fucking remember. The only NWF I think I remember might have been out of Japan, but I could be fucking terribly mistaken. So she complains here. Oh, NWF is in Puerto Rico? Yeah, because she's taking all these pictures in old San Juan. She found the best looking fucking Buick she could find on the street and took some pictures with it. Holy shit, this is old San Juan. Look at that. You wouldn't know it by her posing next to a fucking wall with a hole in it. But I digress. You know what? That is the official International Wrestling Insider. I do have a bunch of Pro Wrestling Illustrateds. I have Years in Reviews. I have PWI 500s, which are readily available online, but not in print as far as I know, just the listings. I have old Raw magazines. I even have some old WWF magazines from the 80s that I probably have still in my attic that I need to find. But other than that, I'm going to try to put a little more effort into that and maybe, you know, take a little bit more and actually look into these things. And maybe we can make some games out of it and see who's on top in all the territories at certain points in time. Give you guys a flavor of what was happening in the world of wrestling as I remember it when I was growing up. And I'm sure Phil does, too. Phil Rea from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. That reminds me, I haven't really been playing the commercials all that much. Don't forget, we've got Zubaz. Go support those guys. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. The High Spots Video Network, Television Network. I don't know, but if you want to subscribe, Kevin Gill's got a show on there now. Your first month is free. You get over 2,000 hours of audio entertainment. Go to our website, click on the link, put in the code WIZARDS in all caps. You'll get your first month absolutely free. We've got Loot Crates. We've got, not Loot Crates, Lucha Loots and Lucha Gear and Lucha Crates and all that good shit. Go to the website, click on some banners. You want to fucking burn your house down and yet cook a great meal in the process and you could turn to your wife and say it's all worth it. Go to shinywiz.com, click on Blue Apron, your first order, $30 off if you use our banner. Support everybody on the Shining Wizards Network, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Nigel McGuinness, Oi Oi. Who else am I missing? Dave Destruction. He's got another new episode coming tomorrow. And I think that's about it. Support all of our usuals. Don't forget on our website, we have links to all of the promotions that we support. I know we need to terribly update it, but bear with us. Anybody that we've ever mentioned, anybody we ever talked about, anybody that we're friends with on the Facebook, they're good people and they're friends with us. Go check everything out. Leave reviews. It's the cheapest and easiest way to support us. iTunes, Stitcher. If you can leave them at your mom's house, just pin them to her front door. Let her know that you listen to the Shining Wizards. Let her know you enjoy getting some sort of wrestling entertainment every week, whether it's me solo, whether it's all of us getting back together, which I think is going to be happening very soon. Spoiler alert, maybe. You shake my nerves, and don't forget, not next week, but on the 9th. And I'm glad to report that this is actually the theme song by Jerry Lee Lewis, by the way. And not Jerry Lewis. It's not, hey, lady, my balls are on fire. Folks, I'm glad you joined me tonight. Stay tuned. In a little bit, the rant is coming on. I'm sure there's some hodgepodge in between that you can listen to. But this has been Tony for the Shining Wizards, reminding you, if your balls are on fire, get some Icy Hot. They'll burn for a little bit, but it should be good to go. Peace! I'm real on earth, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. And this girl, it's just great. Balls of fire. Hold me, baby. Well, I often love you like I love a should. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. Ain't you trying to kill that I quit on my tongue? Real nervous, but it sure is fun. Okay. Come on, baby. This great is just great balls of fire.
You have AIDS.
We coming for you, nigga.
Oh.
Well, he is the lunatic fringe.
Beat that again.